Hello and welcome to episode 20 of Because I've Lost Control of My Life, the podcast that has gone on hiatus for a year and a half and now randomly is back. I am one of your hosts, Matthew, and here with me now is my good buddy, Adam. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm trying to figure out where to put the champagne bottle.
just drink it straight from the bottle. So this is awesome. This is the first time we've hung out since the pandemic, and we're actually doing a show in person together.
This is the only time this has happened.
Literally. Always been, what, did we use Skype or did we use Google Meet? I don't even remember. It's been that long.
I think we switched between it. I think we started with Skype and Google Meet turned out to be better. I don't think Google Meet would even work anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know we obviously had the problems with Skype when we had
Michael Bell
on the show. Yeah, that's, although I wonder if that was due to his not comprehending technology. I don't know.
Yeah, he, you know, don't talk about technology with people that
yeah, especially when you work in it too all the time and you assume people know basic stuff and they really don't.
Yeah.
We're not here to dunk on Michael Bell. We love Michael Bell and he is a goddamn hero.
He warmed up to us.
Oh yeah, once he saw that we had questions that weren't just the usual bullshit.
Yeah. And we were able to read him pretty well what he didn't want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, good guy. Anyway, that's reminiscing about an episode yet. So we actually haven't watched a new episode of Rugrats for this episode, but we're here.
I've been on a complete Rugrats detox for the last year and a half. I have not seen any Rugrats whatsoever.
Yeah, I can't say that I've watched it since we start. Well, actually, no, that's not true. For a class I taught in screenwriting, I played my favorite episode of Rugrats Grandpa's Teeth for story structure, because it has perfect story structure. But yeah, so what are we doing here today? Why am I at your place in the middle of nowhere?
Well, you know, I think we talked extensively about how neither of us would ever own a home.
Well,
my wife and I ended up buying a place back in my home state, so now I'm closer to my loved ones. We also got a copy of my uncle's last movie.
Yes.
We had, the premiere didn't quite go as planned, but we did end up watching it together.
Yes.
The most well done, definitely.
So for those who may just be tuning in for the first time ever, let's kind of clue them in. We mentioned this on the show before, but tell us about your uncle and his illustrious filmmaking career.
My uncle, back in the 90s, did several like independent films with his best friend, Vince. You know, low production, kind of, you know, they had to put together what they had.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things to kind of, you know, laugh at, poke fun of. And they stepped up their game for this last one.
Definitely. Obviously, very low budget, as you said. No budget, even. But
I wish they had continued.
I agree.
I think they could come up with some cult classics.
I agree. I mean, to us, these are cult classics. Yes. I mean, they're very charming. When people actually make stuff, like, a lot of people say, oh, I could do better than that. But the point is, they actually did it. And from a production standpoint, as you said, this latest film is definitely the best.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're here because of that film. Tell us a little bit more about that, sir.
You know, my uncle did end up he died last month, and we had planned to do a premiere before that, with our friends to come over and visit and just watch it for old time's sakes, because we had all watched it and kind of, you know, had fun with the ineptitude of it. So, you know, we found several times we found out there was a lost movie out there, and Vince actually went ahead and printed some. I think it was 2021, maybe even.
I think it was 2021 from the copyright notice.
Yeah, and I finally got a hold of it. He had sent my uncle's son some copies, and he sent one over to me because he knew that I liked them. I had them up on YouTube. They're not very good quality. I uploaded them like in 2010 or something.
Oh, wow.
Had to remove all the copyrighted material.
Yeah, yeah. What, the second film has Queen in it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they're off of like old VH copies of probably VHS tapes.
Oh, yeah. Who knows how many generations they've been copied to.
Yeah, so the DVD was This one was on DVD, and it was yes. much better quality.
Oh, we should also mention that these movies were shot on VHS, too, which is not that great looking of a format. But again, this new one, they definitely stepped up their game. So, but yeah, we at the beginning of the podcast, you heard a little pop. What do we have here, sir?
We've got some Andre. Can we say brand names? I think we can say
brand. I think we can say brand names, yes. But...
it was $10.
Yeah, we spring for the good stuff on this show. But anyway, we're going to do a little toast here. This is, to your Uncle Frank.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Nothing like good, cheap champagne.
Extra dry.
Just like we like it. Extra dry. So yeah, that's the reason we're together today. But literally the last episode of the show we did was August 2021. And I was about to start a new job and get way, way too busy.
Yeah, and, you know, I was doing... not so well with pain management at the time. I'm a lot better now. I don't really need to run down the process of it on here, but I don't have as much problem with that these days. I do still have like flare-ups of it, but you know, I get by.
I've had actually a lot of health problems since the last time we did a show, so we can break those down a little bit. This past summer I was in grad school because I'm a crazy person doing it for a third time. And, I got really angry one night. I won't go into the reasons why. And I kicked a door and then a dresser in my dorm room barefoot and shattered my right big toe and broke my foot in three places. And it was all for a really dumb reason too. So, yeah, I can no longer, I don't know if you've noticed the whole time we're here, but my right big toe, I can't bend it like at the knuckle anymore. It only just does this move.
I was noticing how your toe was different.
You didn't want to tell me how it looks deformed now.
No, I actually didn't notice it at all.
I'll make sure to show it to you after this.
I almost never look at my friend's feet.
There's a quote. And then this past, I believe it was the end of February or March, I teach at a small college, and I was leaving class one night talking to my, it was a night class, and I was talking with one of my students, and I happened to turn my head, and I just started this weird dizziness. And then the next day it got worse and worse and worse to the point where I could barely walk. Like if I turned my head just like slightly to the side, it would be like someone shoved me. I had like no equilibrium and it was terrible. So I was on steroids and some other stuff. It's some kind of an inner ear thing. But basically I had to go to physical therapy for that to learn how to like compensate for my senses. And yeah, that was fun. The therapy for that involves like moving your head around and shaking it around. Oh, and
yeah, I actually had a similar thing. Not quite, I don't think as bad as what you're describing, but I like strained my neck and I was kind of getting dizzy from that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was not good.
No.
But yeah, that lasted for about a month. I was teaching from home on Zoom because of that. And yeah, it was not good.
No.
But knock on wood, we're actually at a wooden table so I can do that. It's not going to come back. I hope not. Sometimes I feel a little bit of swimminess, but overall I've been pretty good. Again.
Yeah, I'm glad that the therapy actually worked for you. So.
Yes, and I also, I took a page from your book, and I was getting massages every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
At, like, the deep tissue stuff. And my masseuse was using cupping on my back, too.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever had that done?
No.
It's a really interesting feeling, just like feeling like she's like moving the cup back and forth on my back. You just feel your skin going up into it like a glass vacuum cleaner.
I had such a bad experience like with the end of my therapy, like not anything that a masseuse did, but like I had got a subscription to it just so like to save a little money. And it was like $70 a month. And then like, for some reason, one of my appointments just kind of fell off the calendar and they didn't have me scheduled anymore. And then they were booked for like months. And,
oh, man.
And I was just paying for nothing.
And you couldn't get in at all.
No, I couldn't get in. That sucks. For like 6 months. And I'm like, I canceled it. And, I was down several $100.
Damn.
No massages. I haven't had a massage since.
So if you're tuning in for the first time, our show isn't normally old men complaining about their aches and pains and illnesses. But
It's usually old men talking about cartoons they watched as children.
Involving talking babies.
Involving talking babies, for the most part.
Yeah, a couple of schlubs. That's what how I like to refer to us. I think that's what it says on the website. Two mid-30s schlubs talk about a show about talking babies.
You know, before our before we quit, I had a story about how down in the park in where I used to live, we had a lot of skinks running around, and I actually managed to catch one.
Nice.
And I had it in my arm. It crawled up, and it was crawling all around my body. And I just wanted to make a joke about how it then crawled down into my diaper. And I made funny faces for about 20 minutes.
If you don't get... Did we actually review that episode on
no,
the show?
No, we never got the Reptar and Ice.
Yeah, that's an episode of Rugrats, Reptar and Ice, where they think they have a baby Reptar, but it's just like a little lizard, and it crawls down Tommy's diaper, and the animations of his face are hysterical.
What are you kids doing out here? Oh.
I mean, it's Rugrats.
Yeah, I mean, it's Rugrats, first three seasons, but also if you're a first-time listener, we worship the first season.
Yeah, yeah. We both like rough things, like trying to get great things together with like minimal tools and budgets.
Yeah.
And, you know, not having everything refined.
Excuse me, I'm a classy lady.
That
but
was,
no.
That was the definition of not being refined.
We ain't classy. Although we did smoke cigars yesterday.
Yeah.
That's but a first.
That whole story was true except for the diaper thing.
Adam's never had any lizards in his diaper.
No.
So this, we don't, if you can't tell, we're kind of winging it just because we're, you know, this is the first we've gotten to hang out. So for the past, oh God, how long? We've been watching another classic show from our youth while drinking, as mid-30s schlubs do.
We may have watched like 12 hours of Doug
together. Yeah, I've been watching Doug, and that's another excellent, excellent show.
Cool, man!
I mean, like, first season Rugrats and through, like, season 3. It's all really good, but pound for pound... Maybe Doug is better.
I think it's one of those things where the episodes of Rugrats that are good are better than anything in Doug, but Doug is more consistently good.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And we even got a little bit into Disney's Doug. It's not as horrible as we remembered.
Yes, shocker of shockers. I mean, how many episodes did we get in? 5?
Probably. You know, it wasn't as good as the original, and, you know, we think a lot of that is that it didn't have as odd of music, and
yes,
that the stories needed to be condensed down to 11 minutes instead of 22.
Because they're not bad, but it's like, there's stuff that you can easily trim. What was in the one episode we were like, why is this a part of this?
All I'm thinking about is my uncle's movie in the maid. Oh, my cat's getting fed.
Enjoy, you dumb fat cat. Hashtag fat cat shaming. So, let's talk a little bit more about Doug. Something that you mentioned that I never thought about is it's way more subversive than I ever remembered.
I mean, what they... Judy, like, calls Mr. Bone a fascist, and he's, like, shutting down the paper for criticizing the school, and Doug almost sells out. And
yeah, he's almost a scab.
We can still have it as long as we say nothing bad about the school, and he's like... Maybe it's better if we don't have a paper, if we can't criticize.
I mean, and honestly, that's a very real thing. Like, I'm the advisor of the paper for the school I work at. And in the past, students have written articles that criticize the administration, and the paper's lost funding for a year. Like, they just completely cut it. But because it's a private university, they're allowed to do it.
Yeah.
So, which sucks, especially when I teach truth to power and all that good bullshit in my journalism classes. But
yeah, I mean, we're not gonna like sit here and oversell it. It's not
no
deep submersion.
No, but it's there
and basically the message is always good for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I was even reading in between episodes, or maybe before bed last night, that like Jim Jenkins, the creator of Doug, who, if you've never seen the documentary The Orange Years, look for him. He looks exactly like Doug if he were an old man and real. He always insisted on the shows having some kind of moral, and it's a very good-hearted show. It's just very, very pleasant to watch.
I thought you were going to say that you found out he was a card-carrying communist.
Jim Jenkins, card-carrying communist. And remember, this is the first, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're returning. This is the first communist Rugrats podcast, and now we're just on to straight-on communist animation.
Yeah. Everything is communist.
We actually don't watch cartoons anymore. We just watch Battleship Potemkin on repeat. Have you seen that before, Battleship Potemkin?
No.
It's from the Soviet Union. It was made in the 20s. It's silent, but it's about during the Russian Empire, a ship that mutinies against its officers that are like basically exploiting the working class, of course. But it's this epic, massive film. I like it a lot. It's 100% a propaganda piece, but it's from a filmmaking standpoint, it's really interesting. And there's the most famous scene is the Odessa steps. How many TV shows or movies have you seen where there's like a baby stroller bouncing down steps? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That comes from Battleship Potemkin.
Wow.
Yeah. And The Untouchables, they do that. There's that scene. I know there's other stuff I can't think of offhand, but yeah, Battleship Potemkin. Good piece of Russian communist propaganda.
I've been meaning to find like a bunch of old Soviet cartoons to watch because, you know, they're weird. They're highly stylized.
Yes.
And if you haven't gathered, that's basically what we like about these old children's cartoons.
Yeah, definitely.
For the most part. Like, yeah, we're adults listening to baby shit and we're fucking brain dead morons.
That's all right.
But yeah, I don't know. I just love watching the oddest shit I've ever seen.
I agree. And it's, I imagine if you find the old Soviet cartoons, they'll be really interesting because despite the fact that economically the Soviet Union was never like bigger than the US, now I'm getting into like class lecture stuff. From a filmmaking perspective, they were way ahead of the curve. While the U.S. was still doing static shots of, like, whole scenes, they had, like, cutaways and, like, montages and all kinds of different stuff. They were way ahead of the game. But, anyway, that's... I'm not here to teach film.
Well, I don't know. I was just thinking of Citizen Kane and all the shots in that and how cool they are. And then I was thinking back to Disney's Doug and Roger having the rosebud sled. Because he gets rich in Disney's Doug.
Yeah, due to a real estate deal. I always remembered as a kid that he won the lottery, but it was a real estate deal. So, I don't know. The way you remember things when you're a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, good show, Doug. What else has happened in our lives?
I left my job. I had been promoted a couple of times.
That was the one that was murdering your body and soul?
Yeah, at the bone mill. At the bone mill, I got promoted a couple of times to the point where I was overseeing my team. I wasn't entitled a team lead, but a lot of the times I was the senior member on the floor and had to make the executive decisions while I was in there. And, you know, it wasn't bad. I really liked my coworkers. If I were to talk to them again, I would still really like them. But
that's good.
I don't know if that will happen. But yeah, it was sad to leave them. But, you know, we made our journey back up to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And around my birthday last year, we visited the town I got married in. And we visited my old school. We visited my parents. And I felt homesick, like really homesick for the first time. Not even just for my friends and family, but for...
the state itself.
For the awful roads, the overgrown vegetation, the mountains, the emptiness. I really do love this state.
I do too.
I love the seasons. When I was down a little south in Maryland, there weren't as many, not as much snow. Several years we did like only got a dusting.
Yeah.
This winter here, I had to shovel my driveway, which is rather large. My house is set back quite a bit from the road. And
what we need to say really quick before you continue is that Adam's new name is Moneybags Adam.
Moneybags? I was actually unemployed for several months, and I took a massive pay cut, like almost half as much as I was making in Maryland when I started here. I'm not going to go too much into my new job because, I got to work. I got to work, but the industry I work in is kind of evil.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not doing the evil things in it. I'm not really facilitating them either. I'm just kind of managing the managing and hopefully mitigating some of the evil aspects of it.
Yeah. Now, if John was here, he could talk about what an evil banker he is.
I don't think he mitigates anything.
He just openly exploits people.
Yeah, if I were free to, I would criticize them in a heartbeat. I don't feel secure in doing so.
Do you at least like the people you work with, or is it...
Yeah, they're okay. I'm kind of like, I'm not directly in touch with, like, I'm the only one working on my team in the building that I'm in.
Hmm.
Even if I said what kind of building it is, it would give away what my job is.
Yeah. I'm sure people can infer.
Yeah.
What we're saying is Adam works in a brothel.
Well, down in the whorehouse.
Oh, man. That's going to be a new running joke now that you're like, you're the equivalent of a madam at a brothel. Oh, man. So is there's been a significant amount of time, obviously, since we last did the show. What's some other stuff you've been watching? I know there's a few things that we're both big fans of, but...
Well, you know, when I was unemployed, I got through a couple shows, like, fully. Right now, the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Duckman.
Such a good show.
It's a good show. It was a bit preachy sometimes, and sometimes it was a little too much, like... anti-PC, like, I kind of get the point. I'm not like anti-PC, but you know, a lot of the biggest pieces of shit right now.
Right. It's like, what do you mean I can't say all the horrible things in the world that get me fired?
We're the only woke podcast about Rugrats.
Yeah, we're a woke communist podcast about Rugrats, which we've barely talked about this episode. Like, again, other than, like you said, I haven't touched it.
No. So. We watched, like, the preview of the grandparents in...
Boris and Minka.
In the remake, and all I can say is...
Cowards! They are definitely cowards. That's, how can you...
I love Henry Winkler, but...
Cowards! Yeah, they totally... They're just, like, Florida retirees, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, but it basically, Tommy's grandparents are evil.
I need the elderly Jewish couple yelling at each other constantly. That's Boris and Minka, not Florida retirees. So another show that I'm a big fan of, that I know you also are a big fan of, I discovered this my first semester working at my current job, during finals week, actually, and that is Joe Pera Talks With You.
Hello, I'm Joe Pera.
One of the things we always used to emphasize on the show was how good at watching Rugrats. It felt nice to watch something that was kind of like wholesome while still being strange and insane, but just feeling good when you watch it. And I don't think there's anything that makes me feel that way more than Joe Pera Talks With You.
It is a really good show. And I want to say that Matthew was talking to me about it for months and... months and months and always talking about watching it. I'm like, oh god, it can't be that good. And then over Skype we watched it. I don't know how we did it, but we watched an episode of it, and it was, you know, it was funny, but you know, we didn't quite... It's like definitely a character driven show, so yes. The more you get into the characters, the better it... I've watched it maybe like 5 times through.
Yeah.
My wife loves it, my in-laws love it. I haven't shown it to my parents. I don't know if they could focus on it, but but It is a great show. He wasn't upselling it. He wasn't loving it for a reason I couldn't see.
No hyperbole.
It is one of the best shows. It was the funniest show that is good-hearted and gentle for the most part.
Yes.
I didn't know if you could even do a show that made me laugh hysterically that was nice.
Yeah, and the thing about it, too, is there are some seriously emotional moments in it, too, that are like serious gut punches. And it's like you would never expect it watching the early episodes of the show. And I think it does a really good job of dealing with like mental illness and grief and all that kind of stuff.
And if you watch it like from the first episode to the last, it's basically like movie length.
Yeah, because each of the seasons are, the first and third season are 11 episodes, or no, 9 episodes. Season 2 is 11 episodes, but most of the episodes are just 10 or 11 minutes, and each season has at least one 22-minute episode. So it's about 3 hours of your time. But yeah, just good-hearted, funny, strange.
it's well worth it, and Joe deserves the best things in this life.
Yes. I went to a stand-up show in Cleveland last May and met Joe after the show and talked with him for like 15, 20 minutes. Like, he is even nicer in person than he is on the show. We were talking about books and stuff, and he was like, "You know any sci-fi books?" And I mentioned The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell, which you've read that too as well, right?
Yes.
Excellent book, by the way. Very, very depressing. But
I agree. It was very entertaining, and it has kind of a look back and a look into the future. And there's like a time thing because of space travel.
Yes.
It's a very, very good book. And the sequel is good, too, but I would say...
Not as good.
Didn't hit as well as the first one.
It's definitely worth reading. Children of God is the name of the second. But yeah, the second I mentioned the book, Joe literally pulls out his phone, Googles it and goes to Amazon and puts it in his cart and like went back to talking, and he wrote me, I bought a poster and he signed this really long thing and said like, "Good luck with the writing" and all kind of stuff like that. But yeah, just a sweetheart of a human being. I will say though, one depressing thing about the show is that it was actually canceled last summer. And I think they were all ready to go on a fourth season too, but whatever merger it was between giant media conglomerates, resulted in a lot of shows being canceled, and that was just, and I can't imagine that's an expensive show to make.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, a lot of people that are fans of this type of thing are upset, and they've made whole movies that they didn't even air on the network, and
it's insane.
Yeah, I don't think it was a great business decision, but you know, I'm really not Moneybags, so maybe I'm not the person to ask.
Moneybags, Adam. But no, I'll remember, I will not forget learning that it was canceled. I was at my summer class leaving, and I happened to look at my phone, and it was an email, like, I'm part of the Joe Pera, like, message list that he, what is it called? I'm subscribed to his newsletter. That's what I'm trying to get out there, like a moron. but he, it basically, the email came right after class saying, the show's been canceled and blah, blah, blah. And I will say, I have never been so sad about a show being canceled as I was about that. Like, I was genuinely like, I thought I might cry a little. Like, I was like, no, no way. They can't cancel this.
Yeah, that really sucked because it was the perfect show to get through, being highly intoxicated and needing something to calm me down.
But, God. Yeah, excellent show. Anything else you've watched since the last time we did this?
Well, currently in the mornings before work, I tend to watch I Love Lucy these days. And
still a classic.
You know, I am very surprised at some of the storylines that I didn't pick up when I was a kid. Basically, like, the panic that Lucy and Ricky are going to step out on each other comes up somewhat regularly. I didn't remember Ricky being so patronizing and condescending sometimes, threatening to kill Lucy on occasion in a joking way, but still. But wow, is Lucy so talented.
Yeah.
We went to my wife and I went to the museum in Jamestown, New York, and we saw...
Oh, is there a Lucy Museum?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I would love to go to
they've
that.
They've got a recreation of the set there. You can get your picture. We didn't get our picture taken because we're not the kind of person that goes out to the front lobby again and saying, we need to win a picture. But I want a picture, so we gotta go back sometime.
That sounds awesome. You said it was in Jamestown, New York?
Yeah, that's okay. Where she's from.
Oh, okay, okay. That's what? That's just not too far over the border from PA, right?
Yeah, it's not. It's kind of in the Erie region. We hit it on the way back from Buffalo.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a very nice museum. I mean, they have a lot of the original costumes and glass cases.
That's so cool.
They have some backstory on, like, their friends that guest starred, and like some letters from Vivian Vance to Lucy, and a lot of cool stuff. And it's also like affiliated with the Comedy Museum, which we didn't go to.
Is that also Jamestown?
Yeah. And the only reason we didn't go to it is because we were on our way back and we just wanted to get home. But check it out. It's worth your while. It's not too expensive. I don't remember how much it was, but
reasonable.
Yeah, go check it out.
If Bill Foster's out of town and Grace Foster stayed here and Ricky said he was going down to talk to Fred and he went to Grace Foster's apartment instead, he must have a good, simple, logical explanation for it.
Oh, Lucy, you sure are sensible.
Another movie that I actually watched just a week or two ago, I think it either came out late last year or early this year. It's called Sisu.
He's one mean motherfucker that you do not want to mess with.
Have I told you about this?
You were talking about it last night, but I think I may have been too drunk.
So what it is, it's set during World War II in Finland, and the Nazis are retreating because they're being pushed back. And there's a guy who's a gold miner, and he's discovered a thick vein of gold. The Nazis try to take the gold from him. And basically the whole movie is just a reason to watch Nazis die horribly. And it's wonderful because of that. Like these, they get completely butchered and it's wonderful. We go from Joe Pera to Sisu, to I Love Lucy to Sisu.
I thought you were talking about Joe Pera butchering some Nazis. I'm not talking about Aerosmith here.
But I would recommend that. It's a fun action movie. I haven't seen the John Wick movies, but I've heard they're good, and it's from some of the same people.
I'm not the biggest fan of John Wick. I could see why people like them, but it's the kind of action that doesn't actually hold my attention.
Okay.
My speed is like Fury Road. The kind of action movie I like.
So let's just take a... I don't think we've ever talked about Fury Road on the show before, but that is just such a perfect movie.
I mean, I do know that they storyboard that, but, like, there's weight behind it. There's
stakes.
Yes, it's
not mindless action.
You were like, oh my god, you're on the edge of your seat, like, every time, like, something almost, like, pierces his head or something. I don't know if he almost gets his head pierced at some point. It's been several years since I've seen it, but my wife and I saw that when it first came out, like, at a night showing. Mm-hmm. We were tired out of our minds, but this is one we did not fall asleep watching.
Yeah, it's so perfect. I have a book about the making of it, and a lot of people, there's lines throughout where people are like, it's a miracle nobody died making this movie, because it's all real stunts.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mad Max movies are known for that, but this one in particular, it's like a new level.
It's one that when I saw the trailers, I'm like, oh my god, that looks stupid. And, you know, of course, a lot of people whose opinion I respect told me differently. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go watch it. There's nothing else at the movie theater right now. And I was pleasantly surprised. So, real deep cut, the Mad Max series.
Except for Beyond Thunderdome, which sucks. I actually saw Fury Road for the first time at a drive-in, and it was part of a double feature with this movie called San Andreas starring The Rock, which is just a terrible, terrible movie. I like to describe it as The Rock drives things around in a movie that's way too long. It is so awful. I was like, I wanted to leave. I didn't even want to stay for Fury Road.
I like to imagine that after that double feature, you had the urge to like chase the other drivers down as they left the drive-in theater.
I just rammed a bunch of people leaving the drive-in. Drove right through the screen.
You got a real car boner.
And I'm not a car guy either. But yeah, Mad Max Fury Road. Check it out if you haven't done so already.
Oh, what a day. What a lovely day.
This is a show I recommended to you. This is kind of like a lighter thing. Bob Hart's Abishola. I forget how I heard it was first recommend or how it was first recommended to me, but I absolutely love it. It's have you had a chance to watch it? I know I showed you the trailer.
I still have not watched it.
Okay. No. I like it a lot, but it's about a guy who lives in Detroit. He's a sock salesman. And he has a heart attack and he falls in love with his nurse who's from Nigeria. And it's like your standard kind of like just like sitcom, but the creator came up with the idea during the Trump presidency, when like racism was rising. So he wanted to have like a positive story about an interracial couple, a cross-cultural couple. It's really, really good. I love it. It's like comfort food to me, but I love it. I will sit and watch episode after episode of that and kind of just turn my brain off, and the characters are all really likable, and it's just a good show.
Pretty.
Huh?
You look like an angel.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Okay, I guess. So, what happened?
You had 3 stents put in.
Is that a lot?
For a man your size, no.
I gotta pee. Do I just do it or do I go somewhere?
No, don't just do it.
Another realm to help distract you from the miseries of life. Video games.
Yeah.
I played a really good one. I don't know who the developers are, but it's not one of the big publishers, but this game, Tunic, it's kind of like Zelda.
I've heard of it.
Zelda inspired. You play this little fox, and a big part of it is you go around collecting the instruction manual for the game. Oh. So bit by bit, it teaches you how to play the game when you find the pieces of it. And it has and for the most part, until you like find like ciphers or different things, the instruction manual is written in a made-up alphabet. And the game kind of encourages you to translate this alphabet.
Huh.
Which I did end up doing. I sat in my bed while Stacy was sleeping with like a notepad, writing down different things, like different patterns that I picked up on, and it was very rewarding. I didn't end up solving all of the puzzles myself, but I went as far as I could, and wow! If you can do it, it feels like a real accomplishment. It's like a in terms of like figuring things out and just learning how the game works, it's like the Dark Souls of that.
That's really cool. I mean, it's nice when a game can make you use the old noggin a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, and it's pretty cute too.
Maybe, Tunic.
Maybe every once in a while a little overly cute, but Tunic, yes.
Okay.
Check it out.
I'm trying to think. I unfortunately have not been able to game much because I'm a Mac douche, and there are not many games on Mac. But I did have a gaming laptop that I used for years, and even for modern games, it ran them really well. And finally, the motherboard just completely died. So I haven't been able to play anything. Part of me wants to get like a nice gaming laptop, but then I'm like, well, I really have time, and I won't use it for anything but games because I prefer Mac. But I know there are games out that I want to play. I'm a giant Star Wars nerd. The new Jedi Survivor game looks excellent, and I played the first game in that series, Jedi Fallen Order. Really, really good, even if you're not a Star Wars fan. Well, you mentioned Dark Souls. It's basically Dark Souls, but Star Wars.
And I love the Dark Souls games. I know some people complain about the difficulty, and I get it, but they're not as difficult as it appears when you first start playing them. There's the game mechanic that actually, you know, it's a very rewarding series.
Just think about going back to NES games. Those games were not easy. They were. John actually had a great quote about this. Those games were not meant to be beat. They were meant to be played.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like people are used to having their hands held a little bit with video games, whereas those games is like figure it out. I mean, like Castlevania 2. Who the heck's gonna be able to figure that crap out without a guide?
While I was unemployed, got through Super Goals and Ghosts.
Nice.
The first playthrough, I was able to beat it for the first time in my life. The second playthrough I gave up because you gotta use the most awful weapon to beat the main boss. And I was like, fuck this, I don't care.
That's a really good series too. Very hard, but also I like that if you get hit, you run around in your boxers.
So yeah, if you're out shopping, pick up a Super Nintendo. and maybe it came out for something else, I don't know.
Maybe it's on like the Nintendo store for Switch or whatever. I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's probably on their online catalog.
Another game offhand that I can think of I really want to play is Warhammer 40K Darktide. I'm a big fan of the first two Vermintide games, which are like the Warhammer Fantasy. This is like the futuristic version. Same thing, like four-player squad-based thing where with horde enemies like Left 4 Dead or Deep Rock Galactic. But it's mostly melee weapons, and whenever you hit something, it's incredibly gory. And you can, I don't know how to describe it as when you swing, it feels like you're really hitting something. I know that's weird to say because you're using either controller, keyboard, whatever, but it really feels like you're hitting something.
Wow. Did that one that was inspired by H.R. Giger ever come out?
Yes. What was that called? Because I know I really wanted to play it. I think it begins with a C.
Was it good? Did it get good reviews?
I've heard the puzzles in it are good, but the shooter stuff is really, like, eh. But because of its design, it, like, makes up for it. Scorn. That's what it's called. Has a C in it. Doesn't begin with a C. My coworker, Jake, played it and really liked it. But he said the combat is, like, the weakest part. But the puzzles and the atmosphere and everything is just really cool. And I've watched some videos of it because, like, again, my gaming PC died, so I've just started spoiling stuff for myself. And it's really interpretive. Like, there's no dialogue. You have to figure out everything yourself. And it's, like, really, like, thematic and, I don't know, interesting stuff.
That's kind of, like, not as far as there is dialogue in Dark Souls games, but you really have to kind of, like, go out of your way, talk to characters. And the story is almost entirely told through item descriptions.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like you'll get like a sword and it says that this guy used it to kill this other guy or something.
That's kind of like the Jedi Fallen Order a little bit, but like your character, one of his abilities in the forest is like feel the past or something. So you'll find like an old weapon or something, and then your character senses what happened there beforehand. And there is dialogue. There are like big dialogue scenes and the character talks a lot, but... And, like, his crew of his ship, all they have good banter and everything, but kind of similar.
Oh, you know what? I did rewatch King of the Hill all the way through, start to finish, something I've never done before.
Do I look like I know what a JPEG is? I just want a picture of a goddang hot dog.
Because I usually peter out around, like, season 8 or so, I think. I don't really exactly remember when it starts to get mind-numbing to me. Some of the episodes in the last two seasons are, like, borderline evil.
Really?
There's, like, this really anti-protest episode where basically Bobby learns to, you know, never question anything, and that, you know, people that are into protests are, like, out there, you know, not sincere and just...
That's terrible.
Yeah.
And that's actually the message? Like, that...
Yeah, that's basically the message of the episode. Wow. And going off of that, I then revisited one of Matthew and my least favorite series ever, The Good Family.
Oh, God.
And while I was watching it, I watched the first two episodes. And I'm like, well, this is kind of better than I remembered. But then I kept going. And I don't know if it was because I went in with, like, low expectations that I thought the first two were... okay,
yeah,
and funnier, but no. it's not worth watching, and it's kind of like what all of, you know, it's kind of almost like a template to Lower Decks, like the character designs and their the way they behave
like idiots.
Yeah, kind of like all the characters are annoying.
If you're not familiar with what The Good Family is, it was the show that Mike Judge made after King of the Hill, and it's about a liberal family in, I don't know where it's set, but like a college town. And in my head, that sounds great. If like tonally, it felt like King of the Hill, like a realistic kind of thing. Like just, it's just King of the Hill, but flip the script with the character's beliefs. But it's like, the jokes are things like, did you know that liberals like NPR?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the joke.
The NPR tote bag or coffee mug.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the funniest jokes are just in the concept of it. Like, the main character is Gerald Good instead of Hank Hill. I mean, he's a scrawny man with
yes.
brown hair and glasses.
Hank Hill would kick his ass.
Come here, I'm gonna kick your ass!
No.
Very mild-mannered. And really, where the show was best is where, you know, it actually turned out that the Good family, what they were doing is right. Like,
yeah,
I mean, because that's usually what happened in King of the Hill, even though Hank was like a weird, uptight guy.
Right.
In the end of the day, he was usually somewhat onto something, and he was always coming from a good place.
Right.
And I think that was fair. I don't think that the Good family was as fair to, you know, left-wing people. I mean, it's not... I don't know if it's even fair to say just say left-wing. They're kind of just, like, really NPR people.
Yeah.
But still.
And I have no problem being dunked on as a lefty. But
we were anticipating this. We had high hopes for it.
Yes.
It just, it didn't turn out funny.
And the best character is the grandfather.
Yeah. So, yeah, the conservative character is the best one.
Yeah. But yeah, don't recommend that. But going back to King of the Hill a little bit, there's talks, and I believe it's official now, that it is going to be revived with a time jump.
Yeah, and if the new Beavis and Buttheads are anything, or any indication,
yeah,
it could be good.
I have very high hopes, because if you haven't watched the new Beavis and Butthead, there's two seasons. It's on the second season right now on Paramount Plus. It's excellent. I honestly feel like a lot of the episodes are better than a whole lot of the original series.
Dumbass.
Especially the episodes where they're old.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's like you're watching it and you're like, well, there's no drop in quality. This feels like Beavis and Butthead felt. But almost all of the jokes are like on the quality of the movie.
Hmm.
I
agree. And, well, they actually had a second movie as, like, a pilot to the show, Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe, which is very good.
Yes.
The alternate dimension Beavis and Butthead.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, the Brainiac Beavis. The only Beavis to ever score.
But, yeah, that's really good.
There's a wonderful and exciting world out there when we discover that we don't need TV to entertain us.
He said anus.
Entertain us, anus. Oh, yeah.
And I've been kind of thinking about this and leading up to it. Something that was unexpectedly good, especially after what came before it, was season 3 of Star Trek Picard.
Oh my god!
I'm not sure if you liked it as much as I did, but I really liked it, and I was very impressed by it, especially considering how bad the first two seasons were.
At the very least, like, what they should have done all along was just have more of the cast of the original series. I mean, I love Picard, but, you know, he can't carry the series on his own. I'm sorry. And that's not the only reason. It's also, like, very dark for no reason. Very, like, very stupid action movie.
Brutal and, like, gory. Because I know when you think about Star Trek, you think about gore.
And the worst line in television history as far as
I'm talking. Oh, God. Here we go.
I've said it before, but after one of the main characters watches a space YouTube video and temporarily becomes a Nazi and murders her ex-lover and then speaks for 2 hours with a synth and comes back and says, "Well, I'm done murdering people."
So that's good.
I forgot about the worst part of it.
I was recently cleared of murdering my previous boyfriend due to alien-induced temporary insanity, so I'm not exactly dating material.
Terrible. Terrible.
That's a real character arc.
Ugh. Seriously, those first two seasons are just... They have moments. I had this theory before, and I think it bore out to be true. I know you didn't watch any of season 2, right?
No.
Okay, so season 2 started off actually quite good. Like, the first episode or two was, like, I was like, oh, wow, this actually feels like Star Trek. And the guy who was the showrunner initially, they took him off of season 2 and had him do season 3 exclusively. So I think, and then the season 2 just, it makes no sense. It goes all over the place. So I think, like, had he stayed, it would have probably been better. But season three is really good, in my opinion. And it feels like Star Trek. There's none of the... This is something that I don't like about New Trek, other than most of it sucks. Strange New Worlds is better than most New Trek, but the way characters talk to each other. Like that... It's like they're in high school.
Yeah.
Like Spock says something scientific, and then they're like, do you ever talk normally? Like, you're literally in Starfleet. Why would you not talk like a professional? And that's one of the best things about the original Star Trek shows up through Enterprise, is that they felt like professionals.
You know, I don't remember where I heard it. Maybe I've heard it several places, but people have said that, like, all media today, at least, like, the popular stuff is, like, coming from a... filtered through trauma. Like, all the characters have trauma, and they explore it, and, you know, sometimes it's a good thing, but it should be used sparingly, I think.
Yeah, it's overdone at this point.
Because then it feels disingenuous sometimes, and sometimes the traumas get to be, like, kind of like, okay, man, maybe sometimes you should just get over.
So speaking of trauma and Picard, in season two, it's revealed that when Picard was a little kid, he found his mother had hung herself. And it's like, come on.
The first one, the captain that commits suicide, he blew his brains out.
God.
Oh.
But yeah, season three of Picard. I recommend that without any reservations. There are still some things that I don't like. Like Picard saying that a character, I don't think it's a spoiler, I think everyone knows now, but that is revealed to be his son. He's like, you just wanted to get laid, didn't you? There's like some of that newer dialogue that's stupid. I don't want to hear Picard say that.
Yeah.
But like, overall, it's good. But you mentioned the Picard can't really carry it on his own. Patrick Stewart, originally when they brought it up to him, he said he didn't want to have to wear a uniform and he didn't want it to be a TNG reunion. So I wonder if maybe to a certain extent that's what hamstrung the first two seasons. But then again, considering how awful the writing is anyway, like...
I just got through a few months ago rewatching Deep Space Nine.
So good.
But it was Stacy's first time watching it.
Yeah.
And, you know, she really enjoyed it. I mean, it's crazy that, like, the Ferengi are such a good character.
Oh, they're incredible. It's the magnificent Ferengi episode. The one little green men episode where they go back to Ross as well.
I love every second of that. Well, not every second, but it's definitely top 10 television series.
It's really excellent. And it's... We kind of... harp on the fact that a lot of shows today are too dark. Deep Space Nine was the dark Star Trek, but it still felt like Star Trek. It's like, even though it wasn't necessary, they were working towards utopia. Like, can you have utopia in wartime and all that kind of stuff?
I feel that Deep Space Nine did the right balance of serialized story and standalone episodes.
I agree.
I think modern TV is too reliant on serialization.
Yep.
I feel like you should be, to some extent, able to watch three episodes in and not feel lost.
Right.
And not have things, like, maybe over-explained to you as well. But you should be able, to some extent, just jump in. I know that's changed with the way media is delivered to us now.
Right.
We don't have to wait certain times of the day. We don't have to, you know, miss a week and then, you know,
get completely lost.
Up.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of binge watching things. I feel like when I binge watch things, I am not retaining the information as well.
Hmm.
It's just like a little blip, and like a month later, I maybe barely remember that I watched it at all or any points to it. So even when I'm like reading book series and stuff, I like to put a few other books in between to kind of
cleanse the palate.
You know, not just cleanse the palate, but to, you know, have to reach back a month or so to remember details, and instead of just like cramming it all together, the detail gets lost. I feel
it's funny that you talk about not you don't like to binge stuff, and we've watched like 10 hours straight of Doug over the past 2 days.
Yeah, and I feel I do feel that maybe we have lost a lot of the detail.
Yeah.
In it, but
I mean, when we watched this is an unplanned like episode. We're like winging it. But when we would do Rugrats, we'd watch this one episode and really get into detail with our notes and everything. And
we'd even have it playing in the background on our computers usually. Yeah. For moments to pop up and remind us of what we liked. Right now, we're just kind of sitting across from each other.
Uh-huh.
We can only look into each other's eyes.
Our love for each other is more obvious than ever. But yeah, I think I agree with you, because I know, and it's a bad habit, but when stuff comes out, when they release it all at once, I totally binge it. There's actually another show I can think of that I just watched recently. The second season just came out, and I didn't realize it. It's a show on HBO called Somebody Somewhere. Have you heard of that ever? It's really good. It's about this woman who moves back with her family in, like,
Kansas.
In, like, a small farming town, basically. And, like, her basically just getting by and making friendships with people. And I don't know, I feel like I would spoil it by saying more than that, but I would definitely recommend it. Somebody Somewhere.
Have you watched Righteous Gemstones?
I have not.
Oh, it's very good. I know you like Eastbound and Down. Vice Principals?
I haven't seen that either.
It's really good. Watch both of those, man. You'll love them. They're
okay.
They're a little more love-centric. They're a little more, I don't know what the word is right now.
Because, romantic?
No, they're not romantic. I mean, there's some romance, but they're more heartfelt than Eastbound and Down.
I mean, I love Joe Parra Talks With You. I'm fine with heartfelt.
I mean, they're not Joe Parra Talks With You.
Either. Right. But not. I know what you mean.
They're more like approaching the level of Baskets.
Okay. Another excellent show.
Yeah, with Zach Galifianakis. And
I am a clone. Another show. It's all coming to me now. I had to get lubricated. Reservation Dogs.
Oh, yeah, I've seen.
I like it a lot. What do you think about it?
It's pretty good. I do like it. I'm a little fatigued of Taika right now. Mm. He was kind of everywhere for a few years. He's done some good stuff. I really like Boy and Hunt for the Wilder People.
Mm.
Eagle versus Shark is okay. Yeah, he got like kind of Disney-fied.
Mm. I mean, he's done stuff on The Mandalorian, directed episodes. He's apparently getting his own Star Wars movie.
I generally like him, but I'm kind of sick of him.
I get it. But for those who have not seen it, Reservation Dogs is about a group of kids growing on a Native American reservation in modern day, and it's got some magical realism elements to it, which I did not expect when those first started coming in, but it's really, really funny. Another really, in my opinion, heartfelt show. There are some very depressing moments on the show, but it's funny, like sad. It hits all the buttons is basically what I'm trying to say.
I agree. I concur. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Good show.
Hello, Dr. Kevorkian.
So we're at about an hour right now. How's it feel to be doing this again?
It feels nice. I like talking with you.
Yeah.
Even if we're just like listing random TV shows and media we like.
Yeah. We're a little out of practice too, so
yeah.
And again, we had no plan for this episode.
Yeah, there's not too much structure. I hope that if you liked the show in the past, you liked hearing us talk with one another, I hope you listened again, and will continue listening as whatever the hell we do with this.
Yeah. If you like listening to a couple of dumbasses talk about media.
Yeah, maybe we should, I know you're more media literate than I am, because you're kind of more...
I literally teach it.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe look more into the backgrounds of some of these things.
Yeah.
Like, once again, this is all off the cuff.
We
did not even outline...
No, we literally debated, should we outline this? Now let's wing it.
The only thing we talked about was opening the champagne on Mike.
Yeah. That was the our master plan for the episode. I don't know about you, Adam, but doing this again, I feel like may have a little bit of a bug for it again.
Yeah.
I know we were a little burned out, but...
We maybe did it too much, and we maybe had too quick of turnaround with it. I mean, it's not like we're discussing timely things.
Right.
It's not, we're not the Daily Show. We're not like every political podcast that has to talk about that week's thing. Aren't you, like, don't you guys get sick of that? Like, if you listen to multiple podcasts and they all talk about the same thing.
Yeah, it can be a little annoying.
Yeah. So listen to these two old friends talk about shows you may have forgotten about, shows you may not have tried.
And shows we're just discovering.
Shows we're just discovering.
Yeah. So with that, I don't know about you, but I think we should keep doing this again.
Yes.
I don't know if we're going to, just because of the nature of my work, and plus I'm taking classes as well, that we'll be able to do it weekly. But I think maybe we should try and just dip our toes into it, maybe aim for monthly, maybe the end of the month have an episode come out.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree.
So little trailer for you folks. We will get back to talking about Rugrats. I mean, if you've listened to the show before, we always talk about all kinds of different shit that isn't just a show for babies. but again, a little preview for the next one. One of the classic episodes of season two of Rugrats, that being
Regarding Stewie.
Regarding Stewie. So that's the episode where
that's the episode that's about us baby men.
It's an autobiography. But it's about Stu falling off the roof and hitting his head and thinking he's a baby and being able to communicate with the babies. It's
Cuckoo.
Yeah, it's probably in a show about talking babies, it's probably the least realistic episode, including the episode with a time machine.
The kid's time machine.
The kid's time machine.
Dog want to eat!
Well, see, they only put it there because nobody would ever be able to afford it, so it was completely safe.
It's just a display.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so in about a month's time from the time you hear this, expect an episode from us about regarding Stewie here on Because I've Lost Control of My Life. Any final words you want to say, Adam?
I'm glad to be back. I did miss it. I miss talking with Matthew as regularly as I had been. And I would like to say I missed all of you, but I don't know any of you people, and I don't owe you anything.
I spilled it all over myself. I was pouring myself another champagne. Well, no, we know a couple of the people.
Yeah, we talked to some great people, and we did that podcast with Celeste.
Yes, shout out to Celeste. With what? Not Another Zelda podcast is her podcast.
Yes.
Also the one where, I apologize, Celeste, it's been so long since we did the interview with you, but another podcast that interviews other podcasters and creators. It's a fun time. You can find us on YouTube.
Yep.
See our ugly mugs. But yeah, again, this is a long-winded way of saying we'll be back, at least at this point, once a month. Very happy to be back. And with that, this is Because I've Lost Control of My Life, a Rugrats podcast, but not just Rugrats. He is Adam, I am Matthew, and we will see you in the very near future. Thanks for listening. I think I need more booze.